Welcome to Between the Lines, where we journey beyond the surface of Scripture with hosts David and Jonathan. Get ready to deepen your faith as we uncover the hidden gems of the Bible. Without further ado, here's our show.
All right, glad you could join us here on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible with David and Jonathan on WVFF 97.7. And we're in the book of Numbers again today. And if you caught yesterday's episode, you never thought you could have so much fun with the book of Numbers, did you? No. It's okay to have fun with God's Word. He's the God of love and the God of joy. It doesn't have to be a stately and profound read. You can get in here and enjoy the Word of God. See the humor in things that these Israelis do. I mean, thus far, you know, the Abrahamic lines have been consecrated. God gave Abraham the first covenant, which was simply, it was not the, I don't care what you heard in church, it was not the Ten Commandments. You read in here, black and white. He says, my covenant with you I give is follow me with all of your heart. Follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. How easy was that? It was nothing legal about that. And there was no bondage there. You know, everything was available to Abraham. All things were available to Abraham. You know, as it is in life now, Christ says, Paul says in the New Testament, all things are legal for the Christian. Not all things are good for the Christian. So, you know, there's where following God with your heart will differentiate between what is good and what is bad. So if you follow God with all your heart, then you have your mind in subjection, which the Bible says the mind is contrary to the word of God and the flesh is an abomination to God. So you're basically riding around in a beat up Dodge, and the computer for the Dodge doesn't work so well. So it's up to the spirit man to get control of both of those things. You get control of the mind, you get control of the body, and one way is to not give it everything that it wants. Starting with food. You give your body all the food it wants, that spirit man will go to sleep. And you'll suddenly notice that you're headed for the ditch. You're no longer right in the center lane. So, the children of Israel have come out of Egypt. Along the way, God noticed how stiff-necked they are. That's his words, stiff-necked. He likes that word when he refers to them. He's wanted to wipe them out several times already. Moses has talked him out of it. Mm-hmm. You know, Moses' heart was the only one. Well, we see Caleb's heart and Joshua's heart also later. When they came along, their hearts, God always brings a replacement for the one that's following steadfastly after him. So we got three guys whose hearts are following God. And Moses' heart was so true that he was actually able to argue with God about wiping out these children and counsel God, believe it or not, it's right here in black and white. You know, you brought them out of Egypt. What is the world going to think if you brought them out of Egypt just to wipe them out here in the wilderness? You know, it's not going to look good on the news, Lord.
Yep.
You know, your name's not going to be used in good ways. So you talked God out of it a couple times already. But God notices on the way out of Egypt that these people, one day they'll follow him. The next day they have no faith in him. Next day they'll follow him. Next day they have no faith in him. Just whatever way the wind is blowing that day.
Even though still seeing miracles.
Yes, seeing miracles. I mean, he's feeding them with manna from heaven. And then they were complaining. Oh, we're sick of this angel food. You know, we've been eating this for 2 years now. 2 years, Jonathan, we've been eating angel food.
Yeah.
Sick of it.
Yeah.
It's coming out of my ears. We want meat. Moses, we want meat. We're tired of this. We got flocks over here, but you're using them all for sacrifices. We want meat. And Moses goes to God and says, the people complain. God says, I know. I've already heard.
These are your people, Moses.
Yeah, these are your people, Moses. God, no, they're your people. He even says, you created them and you chose them.
Yep.
At one point, they're arguing over whose people these actually are. Yep. Moses's or God's.
Yep.
So he says, all right, you want meat? I'm going to send you meat. I'm going to send quail to the camp. 15 miles in all directions.
3 foot high.
And 3 feet deep. And you're going to be so sick of quail in 30 days that you're going to be happy with the manna that falls from heaven every day. So here we are, chapter 15. They just sent the 12 spies into the land of Canaan. And I think that was a failure on Moses' part. He should have never done it, because they come back with 11 bad reports. Oh, the land is beautiful, just like God said. Moses says, go over there, check out the land, see if it is really got is full of milk and honey, and see the inhabitants, see if they're strong, and how powerful they are. So these 12 guys, one from each of the tribes, goes over there. They come back with a bunch of grapes, one hanging of grapes that took two men to carry on a pole.
Yes.
And they come back and they said, the land is amazing.
Abnormally large.
Everything grows big there.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And it's beautiful, but there are strong cities there, and there are giants. There is no way that we can conquer those people. 11 of them said that. And they went through the camp spreading these sayings and these rumors. Oh my gosh, there's giants there. They're 15 foot tall. There's no way we can do it. And the entire camp, as the Israelis do, they started murmuring against God and Moses. Oh, you brought us out here just to be... First it was you brought us out here to die of thirst.
Yep.
You brought us out here to die with no food.
We had water back in Egypt.
Yes, we had water back in Egypt. And those TV dinners that they served us were great.
Yep.
And now you brought us out here to die by the sword. That's all they can say that God did, was brought them here to die in some fashion. And little do they know that Moses has already kept God from wiping them out several times because of their murmurings. So, 11 of them give a bad report, and Caleb says, no, let's go now.
Yes.
God has given us this land. He had the heart of God. God has given us this land, and it's ours. There's no way they can stand before us. So God wants to wipe them out again. And then Moses vehemently argues with God and counsels God again. Lord, what will all these nations think if you wipe them out? But they have no faith in me. They don't think I can bring them into this land. All the miracles I've done, they have no faith in me. I'm going to start over with you, Moses. You got that new Ethiopian wife. We'll start brand new here today. He says, oh, what did you promise Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? These promises, Lord, you're God. You've got to hold to your promises. And what will all the nations of the world think? Because they've been watching us. We're about 3 million now. We're wandering around out here. On our way, you brought us out of Egypt. We're on our way to Canaan, just like you promised. Every eye on all the surrounding nations are watching us. And if you just wipe these disobedient children out, and I don't blame you. I wouldn't blame you if you did. If you wipe them out, what is the world going to think? And God says, yeah, you know what? You're right. I'm not going to do it like that. But every one of them that murmured from, 20 years old and up, every one of them that murmured and said I couldn't bring them in there is going to die in the wilderness here. We're going to wander around in circles. Have you ever seen a map?
Yes.
It's like figure eights and circles and squares, and they just wander around in the wilderness, camping, moving, camping, moving, camping, moving for 40 years until every one of them but Caleb and Joshua and Moses of 20 years old and older, none of the females, none of the children, 20 years and older, the ones that had the conscience to murmur, and the ones who were of military age, all of those have died. God gets his way, but he doesn't do it in the fashion with wrath that he was going to do it. So when Moses tells the people this, okay, because you murmured again, we're going to wander around the wilderness for 40 years. God says, all of you that murmured are going to die. A big group of them say, oh no, we're going in. We can do it. We're going in. We're going to possess the land just like God promised us. Moses said, don't do it. So they go to the top of the mountain, cross over into the land, and the inhabitants of the land wipe them out. So here we are, chapter 15, book of Numbers. Quick rehash there. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, those stiff-necked people, and say unto them, when ye be come into the land of your habitations, which I give unto you, and will make an offering by fire unto the Lord, i.e. burnt offering or a sacrifice in performing a vow, or in a freewill offering, or in your solemn feast, to make a sweet savor unto the Lord of the herd or of the flock, then shall he that offereth his offering unto the Lord bring a meat offering of a tenth deal of flour mingled with a fourth part of a hin of oil, and the fourth part of the hin of wine for a drink offering shalt thou prepare with the burnt offering or sacrifice for one lamb, or for a ram thou shalt prepare for a meat offering 2/10 deal of flour mingled with a third part of a hin of oil. For a drink offering thou shalt offer the third part of a hin of wine for a sweet savor unto the Lord. And when thou preparest a bullock for a burnt offering, or for a sacrifice in performing a vow, or peace offering unto the Lord, then shall he bring with a bullock a meat offering of 3/10 deal of flour mingled with half a hin of oil. Thou shalt bring for a drink offering half a hin of wine for an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. So God had already laid out these statutes, and now he's upped it.
Mm-hmm.
Every time they get out of line, he adds more statutes to this law. It is a binding law, and he put it on them because the simplicity of his first covenant was just too simple. Follow me with all your heart, circumcise your children. One is a carnal thing, one is a spiritual thing, and if you follow God, like I said, with all your heart, you keep the body and the mind in check. So now they are in bondage of the law, and it's growing. It's growing. It started growing in Leviticus, and it's growing even still to this point. More bondage. Every aspect of one's life is under the law, and the law leads to death, and the law leads to bondage and death and separation from God. Jesus Christ came and became the perfect sacrifice to release us from the law, and under his grace, nothing will be held against you. But under the law, and all human beings that are born into this world, I don't care if you're religious, I don't care if you don't believe in God, you are under this law until you come to the acceptance of Jesus Christ and those bracelets, those handcuffs are broken. But let me give you a warning, Christian. If you hold on to the law, the Bible says if you hold on to one portion of this law, you must keep it all. And if you hold on to the law, you make Christ's sacrifice not good enough and of no avail. And it will be useless to you because you're saying, Jesus, I know you were the perfect sacrifice, but I got to keep the Sabbath. Or I got to do this, I got to do that, just to make me feel holy. No, you're a holy by the acceptance of Jesus Christ. He was the perfect sacrifice because the law was just a covering. It never made any of these people holy. They sinned every day, and their sins were covered, and an innocent animal, they would put their hand on the animal's head, and the animal would be sacrificed, and the animal, it would signify a transference of the guilt to the innocent animal, and the animal would die in place of them. So it momentarily covered their sins. And we've seen in Leviticus how easy it is to sin. God is absolutely holy. His children, if they ever want to stand before him, must be absolutely holy. Did you know you could sin by accident? Unconsciously sin? You know, we know the sins that we blatantly do. All of us do it. Don't say you don't. You know, the greatest apostle of all, Paul said, the things that I hate, I find myself doing. The things that I love, I don't do. Because, and he sums that up by saying, but it is not me that does these sinful things. It is the sin that lives in within me that my spirit man sometimes cannot control. Okay, so if you want to be a part of the law, you must keep it all, or you must find grace through the blood of Jesus Christ. Verse 11, chapter 15. Thus shall it be done for one bullock, or for one ram, or for a lamb, or a kid, according to the number that ye shall prepare. So ye shall do to every one according to their number. All that are born of the country shall do these things after this manner, an offering made by fire, of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And if a stranger sojourn with you, stranger comes and lives with you, or whatsoever be among you in your generations, and will offer an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord, as ye do, so he shall do. So, and we've talked about that many times. These were God's chosen people, the Hebrews.
Mm-hmm.
But he also said, if a stranger wants to join the Hebrew clan, he can. is circumcise him, and he becomes one of yours. So God always made a way. There was not just his chosen people. Those were the ones that he would bring forward, but anyone could join. One ordinance shall be both for both of you and the congregation, and also for the stranger that sojourneth with you, an ordinance forever in your generations. As ye are, so shall the stranger be before the Lord. One law and one manner shall be for you and for the stranger that sojourneth with you. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye come into the land whither I bring you, then it shall be that when you eat of the bread of the land, ye shall offer up a heave offering unto the Lord. Ye shall offer up a cake of the first of the dough for a heave offering. As ye do the heave offering of the threshing floor, so shall ye heave it. On the first of the dough ye shall give unto the Lord an heave offering in your generations. And if ye have erred and not observed all these commandments, which the Lord hath spoken unto Moses, even all that the Lord hath commanded you by the hand of Moses from the day that the Lord commanded Moses, and henceforth among your generations, then it shall be, if aught be committed by ignorance without the knowledge of the congregation, that all the congregation shall offer one young bullock for a burnt offering, for a sweet savour unto the Lord, with his meat offering and his drink offering according to the manner, and one kid of the goats for a sin offering. So, if you all forget one of these statutes, you better make it up, and you better do another offering, because you're sinful at that point. It's that easy under the law. Leviticus said, if you take a handful of dirt, and there happens to be the carcass of a dead critter in it, you know, a bug or anything, you are unclean at that point. Sin by accident. If you touch a doorknob of an unclean person opens a door and you open the door after them, you're unclean. If a woman during her time sits in a chair and gets up and you sit in the chair behind her, you're unclean. How much bondage do you want? I gave you the first covenant. Follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. But now you couldn't do it. So we're going to do it the hard way. And one day you're going to hate this enough to accept the new testimony of Jesus Christ, which takes it back to love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor through the blood of Jesus Christ. He says, if you do those two, you have done it all, the entire law.
That's a good point that he brings it back to the original Abrahamic agreement.
The simplicity of God's first covenant.
Yep. Right.
Absolutely. And the priest shall make an atonement for all the congregation of the children of Israel, and it shall be forgiven them, for it is ignorance that they shall bring their offering, a sacrifice made by fire unto the Lord, and their sin offering before the Lord for their ignorance. It shall be forgiven all the congregation of the children of Israel, and the stranger that sojourneth among them, seeing all the people were in ignorance. So, you know, you remember the saying, Jonathan, ignorance is bliss?
Yes.
If
yes.
I'm ignorant,
yes.
I'm not accountable.
Yes.
No. Under the law, ignorance is no excuse.
And if you've forgotten something, you better remember that you've forgotten it.
Yes. Remember you forgot it. And then
before evening.
Yes, exactly.
Or else it's a permanent stain.
And if any soul sin through ignorance, then he shall bring a she-goat of the first year for a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for the soul that sinneth ignorantly when he sinneth by ignorance before the Lord, to make an atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him. He shall have one law for him that sinneth through ignorance, both for him that is born among the children of Israel and for the stranger that sojourneth among them. He's laying down statutes, but he's also making exceptions here. Do you remember about the Passover? If you forget and you do not observe the Passover, you are to be cut off from the congregation. Remember we said Jonathan's got his tribe out and he's hunting and they lose track of the days and they come back and they're cleaning up from the Passover. And he says, oh, no. But at that time, that was last year, at that time, there was no exception.
Oh, no.
You'd be cut off from the people.
Right.
Now God says, okay, I've noticed that half of you ain't smart enough to follow these rules. And I'm having a little grace here.
I'm gonna make a little place for you.
Yes, I'm going to make an ignorance exception, okay? I know Amos over there, he's not the brightest grape on the vine, you know? And he's always stumbling around. He's always forgetting he's got to do this and that. So, all right, here is your ignorance statute. We're going to work this law out. You guys wanted the law, so now I'm going to have to work it out because you're all going to be dead if I don't.
Yes, yes.
But the soul that doeth aught presumptuously, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproacheth the Lord, and the soul shall be cut off from among his people. So if you willfully disregard one of these statutes, you're gone. Because he hath despised the word of the Lord and hath broken his commandment, that soul shall utterly be cut off, his iniquity shall be upon him. While the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. How easy is it to mm-hmm. sin? Mm-hmm. You know, it reminds me of when I first moved here 30 years ago, I had my tractor out in the woods, and it was on Sunday. Right. And I hit a tree and broke the steering rod off, and there's a little welding shop right around the corner.
Yeah.
And I went over there and said, "Now knocked on the door and said, my tractor's broke. Could you weld this for me? I didn't have a welder at the time."
Right.
"Nope. Do it tomorrow." I said, I'll pay you to double whatever. "Oh, it's Sunday. I can do it tomorrow for you. You can't do it today."
But that's it.
And I mean, I was a preacher back then, too, and I'm walking away thinking, what'd you probably say? How many of you, if their ass fell in a ditch on the Sabbath, wouldn't get it out?
Right.
You know?
Right.
Greater is to do for your neighbor than to not do, you mm-hmm. know? It's, and I walk away thinking, it's not even the Sabbath.
No.
It's Sunday.
So that's I used to laugh about that too, like with people, and it's not a malicious thing or, you know, any hostility towards them, but it's
no.
just like, it's,
no, I
it's
know.
Like, well, it's,
it's
like,
it,
guys, you're calling Sunday the Sabbath, and it's
yes.
literally, no, you missed it by a day.
And what do you see right here? God does not make allowances for that.
Ignorance,
no.
Right? And that's it.
You cannot observe the Sabbath on right. a different day.
If you're going to uphold that law,
yes.
then you have to be aware of every facet, of every connection, of everything
that's exactly right.
across the board.
And if you, like, if you uphold that law, you got to do them, all of mm-hmm. them.
Because it's like, in this, you know, for lack of a better term, but it's like a spider's web. If you see how they branch out
yeah.
and they compartmentalize,
yeah.
like everything's connected at a center point, and you have to keep that entire,
yeah.
you know.
But you know what? Wow. God works in mysterious ways, but because of that, I drove down and met my best friend for life, Fred Ford.
That's awesome. Yeah.
He welded it up, got the tractor out of the woods, and I wouldn't be halfway where I am if I would have never met that man.
Gotcha.
So God works in mysterious ways.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they that found him gathered sticks, brought him unto Moses and Aaron and unto all the congregation, and they put him inward, because it was not declared what should be done to him. And the Lord said unto Moses, the man shall be surely put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. Oh, thou shalt not kill. What is God doing there?
Right.
He's telling them to kill this man.
Right.
Because this man is guilty. He flagrantly disobeyed the law of God. The Ten Commandments, when it was put into English, was misinterpreted. Thou shalt not murder.
Yes.
You will not kill an innocent person.
That's right.
This man deserved death. God said so. You break my laws, you must die. And he had the children of Israel do it. And he would not have had them do it had the Ten Commandments says, thou shalt not kill. It says, thou shalt not murder. And the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died as the Lord commanded Moses.
We'll be back with more spiritual insights on Between the Lines after a brief message from our sponsors. Stay tuned.